Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story. And the news behind the news is not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but also moving to action. And it is about truly the gospel of the kingdom. But today, I want to do something a little bit different. We need to understand that the battle is God's, not ours. Our job is to prepare our horse for battle, but the battle is the Lord's. Period. End of story. We're supposed to carry the banner. We're supposed to be prepared to go into battle, but and have the strategies, submit our plans to the Lord, surrender them to Him. But we have to trust that God is in control and that this is His battle. And if we don't do that, what happens is that we get stuck. We get stuck in a place where nothing seems like it could ever go right. We get stuck in a place where we always think we're losing instead of, no, actually, we did exactly what the Lord called us to do, and we are trusting the battle to God. So today in your family, pray about this. Have you really prepared your horse for battle, number one? And number two, have you actually given the battle to the Lord and just said, here, it's yours, Lord. The outcome is yours. But I have done what you've called me to do. That is what it means to be a Christian, and that is what it means to be a patriot. Now, I'm going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff today, and we're going to jump right into this. So, from the front, your daily intelligence briefing. Okay, we're going to start in Ukraine, as we always like to do here, because Ukraine does touch on the rest of the world. Now, coming to us from Euromaidan Press. Whew. All right. The Russians have tried to do an encirclement, a large encirclement of the Ukrainian military forces. If that failed, they're trying to do a small encirclement. That has failed. And in fact, and I'm going to get to this here in a second on open source intelligence, they're continuing. They, being the Russian army, are continuing to suffer staggering losses. Now, here's a base summary of everything that's going on. First of all, in the world right now, in Taiwan, the Chinese just finished up an exercise where they had completely surrounded Taiwan. The United States just sent a carrier group through the Taiwanese Straits, which is, again, all of these things very provocative on both sides right now. Effectively, intel is showing that there's a high likelihood of Russian buildup in Transnistria here in the next couple of weeks. Now, as we reported on this show, it was very clear that Russian generals and other officers were evacuating their family members from Transnistria, and it looked like a buildup was imminent. So what does that mean? They're going to build up forces in Transnistria, then they're going to try to do an amphibious landing and assault from the Black Sea into Odessa and try to take Odessa. That's the whole point behind this, so they can continue to build their land bridge across the south of Ukraine. As you see there, Odessa is in the west, and they have some gains across the south of Ukraine. Now, there is still heavy fighting around Mykolaiv and Kherson City. I think it's called or pronounced Kherson, but in English, we just pronounce it that way. So anyway, on the other side, you can see where Luhansk is. There's, again, heavy fighting there. And then up in the northeast, where Kharkiv is, the Ukrainians have been very, very successful in a counteroffensive. They're driving the Russians almost to the border. I think they drove them to within 10 kilometers of the border as of yesterday. But again, the Russian military suffering staggering losses. I can't even begin to tell you from a military standpoint what is happening over there and how many people they're losing. These are World War II numbers. Over 26,000 troops, almost 200 aircraft, almost 3,000 armored personnel vehicles, and almost 1,200 tanks. You're talking about now significant portions of the entire Russian military being gone. So one third of their tanks, of the entire Russian military, gone right now. You're approaching maybe 20%, maybe a little bit less regarding armored personnel vehicles if you factor in all of those down for maintenance in the rest of the fleet. So, I mean, these are, again, staggering numbers. I don't want to repeat myself. This is just so incredible. They are losing 1 to 2 battalion tactical groups a day. That means that Putin is likely weighing in on whether he should continue the war or maybe go an unconventional route with nuclear weapons, because there is some desperation now in Putin. I want to talk about a couple other things that have been reported across multiple sites, and particularly Debka file. Units are redeploying from Syria to the Ukraine theater. So you have a redeployment now, a strategic redeployment of Russian forces from another theater up to Ukraine. And in addition to that, there are many rumors that appear to corroborate that Putin has some kind of cancer and is mentally desperate. This coming from oligarchs that are close to the Russian dictator. Now, and some of you might get upset at that characterization, but that's the truth and everybody knows it. All right. Here is the other part of this coming to us from open source intelligence. First of all, Finnish media is reporting that Russia could be cutting off gas to Finland as soon as Friday. Okay, so again, a shift. Now, the pretender should be developing natural gas here in the United States of America. We should be developing this, getting rid of the regulatory burdens to help our allies in Europe. But in fact, they're doing the exact opposite and still talking about the fraud known as climate change. Finland appears to be very close to submitting an application to NATO. There was a statement actually this morning from the Finnish prime minister, and I believe the Finnish president, about joining NATO. So this looks like it is going to happen here in the very near future. In other words, the application, like we talked about, I think about two shows ago, is going to be coming in the next couple weeks, and then there will be a vote on it in June. All right. Want to move next on open source intel to this. Russian forces sustained significant losses attempting to bridge the Seversky-Donetsk River. And that was that part of the map Travis was showing just a few minutes ago where they were trying to encircle the Ukrainian military. Again, the Russians suffering devastating losses there. And also, and very interesting to me, that there are some things happening as far as anti-satellite weaponry. The Chinese have come out now and said they have essentially hypersonic anti-satellite weaponry that no other nation has ever before displayed. So they have literally gone a leap ahead of the United States in that area. I'm sure that that is causing some interesting discussions in the Pentagon right now. But again, this is all ginning up like war is coming very, very quickly. And maybe by the end of the year, with China invading Taiwan and also keeping our eyes on Iran and Israel, that something is brewing there too. And it's been under the surface here for quite a while. All right, I'm going to get off now the Ukraine train with this last article coming to us from the American Conservative. There is now the threat of Polish involvement in Ukraine. What that means, I think, is a veiled, there is going to be more than just indirect involvement. So in other words, not just supplies and sending supplies in and through Ukraine, but there may be actual direct involvement. Again, this could very much lead to a broader war. And in fact, Putin in his speech here recently on May 9th said this is already essentially a broader war. He was implying that. Some of his officials afterwards have said that exact thing, that this is already a broader war. And they're specifically naming the United States. let's keep our eyes on that this isn't something speculative in the future, that things are very tense right now and could go sideways at any moment. All right. Also, coming to us on the national front. Now, I want you to hear this, okay, because this is so critical. We have more natural resources than any nation as far as being self-sufficient. And I'm talking about breadth of natural resources. We have rare earth minerals. We've got gold. We've got silver. We've got natural gas. We've got oil. We could be completely energy independent. And yet, in the legislature, I kept telling people this is going to come down sooner rather than later. And even with their projections in the Washington State House, when we were having these debates, they would say, oh, we're going to reach what's called grid instability around 2028, 2030. That actually may come a lot sooner. And the reason is because we have shifted away from baseload power. Now, I want to talk about power for a second. Baseload power is power that is always stable and is always pretty much at a certain level consistently. Hydroelectric power is baseload power. Nuclear power is baseload power. By the way, nuclear power is one of the safest forms that we know of in the world, and we are going to actually have to switch to nuclear power whether anybody wants to or not. Now, that may offend some folks. Go check out small modular nuclear reactors. It is not only safe, it is the way that efficient power should be done. Now, in addition to that, hydroelectric power should always stay online. And we've talked about hydrogen fuel cells as well. I don't want to get into all that in this show, but hydrogen fuel cells, stackable fuel cells outside of a building and having no power lines to individual buildings would be a massive strategic thing to do, because decentralized power means that you cannot take everything offline all at once. Number two, if you have a storm that comes through, it blows down power lines if there are power lines, right? But if there are no power lines, it's not going to blow them down. And so therefore, you're going to have just an inherently more stable grid by having decentralized power. Well, what these guys have done, and this is coming to us from Technocracy News, power grid operators warn of potential electricity shortages amid transition to clean energy, which is what we predicted in the legislature. What was it now? 4 or 5 years ago now. Power grid operators across the U.S. warn that power generating capacity struggles to keep up with demand, a worrying sign ahead of summer, where heat waves could lead to rolling blackouts this summer. This is what these people want to do. They want to weaken the United States instead of decentralizing and hardening the electric grid against an EMP, which would make us beyond resilient to any foreign actor like China, for example, or Russia. And it would be so easy and so cheap to do. This is a farce. This being global warming, it is a farce to weaken this country. And right now, we can see the control mechanisms again being ramped up so that if World War III breaks out, they can begin implementing these control mechanisms one after another. Which brings us to the next thing. And that is from The New American. The real Terminator, the autonomous drone swarm that can hunt humans. Now, the very interesting part about this is that the Telegraph reported essentially that they were using facial recognition technology regarding these drones to attack human beings, individual human being targets. Okay. Remember the narrative. Anybody who supports Putin right now, those end up being the people that when World War III breaks out, they're immediately labeled subversive, and then the U.S. government begins to crack down on them by targeting them. Now, are they going to target them with drone swarms that will kill them? Probably not. But drone swarms essentially to track them down, no question about that. And the fact of the matter is, and I'm going to bring up 2,000 Mules right now. If you've not watched that movie, you need to watch the movie. Because 2,000 Mules very clearly demonstrates cell phone tracking and what it is used for. Now, we've known this stuff for years, that not only did it exist, but that they use it. The fact of the matter is that they can track your cell phone and develop something called a pattern of life. In other words, everywhere you go during the day. And not only that, but all of the cameras along that route potentially can also corroborate that you were at that location. ATM cameras, school cameras, traffic cameras can corroborate that as part of that pattern of life. So they compile all of this data and they sell it on the commercial market so that people can build a profile on you and therefore advertise to you or introduce stimulus in your life so that you buy certain items. This is called activity-based intelligence. It's the whole point behind that. So here what they're saying is, essentially, with 2,000 Mules is that they tracked people going to ballot drop boxes. That's the premise of the movie. But here's a couple important points out of this. Pattern of life tracking has existed for years. And so what that means is the United States government has the ability to track every Antifa cell in the United States, every jihadi cell in the United States. But to our knowledge, not only isn't doing it, but isn't doing it in a way that's going to end up in prosecution of those people. Because in 2,000 Mules, they actually showed how some of the people that were going to drop boxes also participated in riots in certain cities in the United States of America. So that raises that first issue. Then the media comes out and says, oh, cell phone tracking technology is not super accurate. Really? You use the technology, most people anyway, to drive places during the day. It's pretty accurate doing that. And in the Russian-Ukrainian war right now, they were using cell phone tracking technology to target individual Ukrainian ministers for assassination. So clearly it's accurate enough for them to use missiles against it. So this is kind of a ridiculous argument from the left. And what's dawning on them and what should dawn on every American is we have the ability to actually protect this country, to bust those terrorist cells, to bust the jihadis, to bust the communists, and we're not doing it. And that raises the question, why? Why are we not doing it? That brings us to the next thing on the national front, central bank digital currencies. The New American has a great article on this. In a new study carried out by the Bank of International Settlements, the central banker's central bank headquartered in Basel, Switzerland. If you have never heard of the Bank of International Settlements, you need to learn what that is. That is quite literally what the World Bank will be. It's the bank of the bankers. So in other words, all the central bankers in all the different countries, this is the bank internationally. This is the bank that was talking about special drawing rights and including China into that. We talked about that a couple years ago. The central banker's central bank headquartered in Basel, Switzerland, an overwhelming majority of the world's central banks indicated interest in developing central bank digital currencies. They even have an acronym for it, CBDCs. They're now being promoted by governments and banks as an alternative to the burgeoning international market in private digital currencies such as Bitcoin and Ethereum. And there's also coins, they're called stable coins now, which are tied or pegged to like gold or silver, to a commodity. I want to talk about, or to a currency, actually, too. There's one that's pegged to the United States dollar. All right, so here's why this is important. Because today, coming to us from Populist Press, there has been a crypto crash. And what is being signaled with this is that the central banks of every country are going to go to a digital currency and outlaw all the other digital currencies. And there's a crypto crash today. Interesting timing. So this move toward digital currencies has been known for a long time, and it is essentially slavery because everything has to come in through one portal into the digital currency and then has to come out through another portal through the digital currency. Therefore, not only can it be tracked, but it can be shut down. And it can be shut down and monitored based on your social credit score, which is what they're implementing in China, based on how much you support the regime. See how all this stuff ties together. And that brings us to an article I've been waiting to talk about for a long while, the Republic Brief. This came out today, but this subject I've been waiting to talk for a while, not the article subject. Earlier this year, we reported about an appeal made to a federal judge to release a report that suggests there may be some flaws in the equipment used by Dominion voting systems in Georgia. Now, we brought this up 2 years ago. Now, this is interesting. The public deserves to know the context of J. Alex Halderman's claims and his testimony regarding the 2020 election, Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger said when he called for the document to be released, according to Washington Examiner. Now, this is interesting. Georgia voters face an extreme risk that ballot marking device-based attacks could manipulate their individual votes and alter election outcomes, said Halderman, a computer science professor at the University of Michigan, in a report last year. According to Halderman, malicious software could be installed on voting touchscreens to change votes between candidates by installing the malicious software. He said the QR codes used by scanners could also be used to alter votes. And he didn't indicate whether that had actually happened, but now they say we need to look into this. Oh, wow. Are we actually talking about this again? According to that article, we are. But here are the movies that came out on this issue. So there's kind of a three-legged stool. We're not going to talk about that one we just did. But the other two legs are, the first movie, 2000 Mules, was kind of the ground troops and how they did their job with ballot trafficking. That's what that movie posits. And then the next movie is called Rigged. And you can look that up on the Western Journal website. Western Journal is a fantastic outlet if you've never heard of it. But on that site, they talk about this movie, Rigged. And Rigged shows how the Zuckbucks came in to buy the ballot boxes, the drop boxes that were placed everywhere so quickly that they couldn't get cameras on them. That's interesting. And also was effectively a voter turnout for the Democrats. That was the premise of that movie. So you have this three-legged stool in the election here, raising a ton of questions yet again on what happened in 2020. And as Dinesh D'Souza said, based on what they found, they cannot move on, that we need to address this. And this is aimed particularly at Republicans, because he being Dinesh D'Souza, outlined in the movie 2000 Mules how the NRSC, so the National Republican Senatorial Committee, which is tied directly to Mitch McConnell, actually knew about what was happening with the ballot trafficking. And yet did nothing. In fact, came out and said, well, there is no reason to doubt this election, when there actually was reasonable doubt that needed to be addressed. All right, I'm going to talk about a few more things since we've got a little bit of time here. Whew. We're going quick. Now, coming to us from Zero Hedge, there goes the housing market. So last week, Zillow's dismal outlook stoked fears that rising mortgage rates would result in the next downturn. So essentially what they're saying is by next year sometime, the housing market and probably the commercial real estate market will head downward, and in some places actually already is. So that's interesting. And then this other one. So people have been asking about baby formula and food. And I'm going to talk about food here in a second. People are wondering what happened to baby formula. There's a huge shortage across America, nationwide, and yet the Biden administration is shipping pallets of baby formula to Border Patrol holding facilities for illegal immigrants, according to WorldNet Daily. Well, that should infuriate some folks. So we should take care of our own country first. We should be expanding massively the production of oil and natural gas. We should be doing our harvests, and then instead of exporting some of it, keeping it here in the United States, making sure our people are fed. And our surpluses are more than enough to help our allies and also countries in Africa if we would just get the government out of the way and let Americans be Americans and entrepreneurs who solve problems. That's what we should be doing. And yet, we're shipping baby formula to Border Patrol holding facilities when we've got a massive shortage nationwide in this country. All right, that's going to bring me to your preparedness item for today. Now, I posted on the Facebook page, so you can see that. I'll make sure Travis shares it on Patriot Radio Facebook page as well. But on my personal Facebook page, you can see it. So there is the food preparedness list. Then there's also the water preparedness list. And today, we're going to talk about sundry items. What are sundry items? Okay, most people thought it was toilet paper. Apparently, and I have a thesis on this. In other words, I have an idea that toilet paper is civilization. Okay, we're going to talk about that a different day. But sundry items include things like toilet paper, tampons, toothpaste, soap, those kind of things. Do you have enough sundry items? And there's one sundry item that I really recommend, and it's called the breathing washer. It is absolutely fantastic. All you need is a 5-gallon bucket and this breathing washer, and you can wash your clothes anywhere in the world. And in fact, it actually washes clothes better than your normal washing machine does. It's pretty cool. So people that are out on the mission field, they're in Africa, you need to wash your clothes. All you got to find is a 5-gallon bucket, which are pretty ubiquitous. And you have this breathing washer with you. You can fit it in most bags and you can wash your clothes. Fantastic idea. There's also another one called the All for All, A-W-L for A-W-L, okay? Or A-W-L for A-L-L. And the All for All is a really great gadget because it basically allows you to repair not only clothing, but bigger items like tents and things on the fly. No pun intended there, by the way. So these are sundry items that most people haven't thought about. I'm going to be posting those up on the Facebook page here in a little while as well. And please share this stuff with your friends and family. Get them involved. And I had somebody say, do we really need to stock up on food? My goodness gracious. The supply chain is hit. Inflation's happening. They're trying to push us toward World War III. The worst case scenario is if you stock up on food and nothing happens, you get to eat it. And that's a pretty good outcome. Okay, a pretty good outcome. We will post that here shortly. And with that, that is your briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for us and just sending some great notes in. I really appreciate that from everybody. And remember that we're getting shadow banned on a lot of these mainline platforms. So go to my Facebook page at Vote Shea on Facebook or at Patriot Radio US on Facebook. Just check out my personal Facebook page. And if you can't find anything there, we're going to make sure. Travis is going to make sure. Right, Travis? He's going to make sure that it's posted up on Gab as well. So you can find me at Matt Shea on Gab. And just go there, take the stuff, download it, and just share it again with your friends and family. But make sure that you visit these pages directly and don't think it's going to end up in your feed because of shadow banning, it doesn't. And you can always find us on Podbean, Spotify, Amazon, iTunes, and beyond. And with that, it is my pleasure to bring on once again John Jacob Schmidt from Radio Free Readout and also the American Readout Radio Operators Network, which has been doing a fantastic job getting folks ready for what is coming here, maybe sooner rather than later. JJ, it's great to have you back on again.
Hey, Matt, always great to be with you on the air and great to talk to you again.
So it's been a little while. Catch the listeners up about some of the projects you've been working on. In fact, I think there's a new book out there, isn't there?
Actually, yes. Yes. We finally got it posted up on Amazon. It's the Partisan Operator Journals, Volume 1. And I'll be working on an audio version of that as well. But, yeah, it's kind of took some inspiration from James Wesley Rawls, who basically presented preparedness in general terms and wrapped it up an instructional manual in a novel in a fictional setting. So that inspired me to do something that it seems to be a lot of people ask, you know, what that might look like for emergency communications and radio communications. So this series could just go on and on because there are so many aspects and components to emergency communications for the very beginner level person that just wants to stay informed and they know nothing about radio communications, all the way up to your most, you know, advanced skilled amateur radio operators or former military experienced communication specialists. So the first book basically took this major catastrophic event called Zero Day, and the book starts at Zero Day plus 1 year. So it is the first one here is a amateur radio operator, but he's a former Marine Force recon guy who was a radio operator in the military. And so now we have a situation with foreign troops on our soil, and he's in a situation where he's combining his military experience with modern day amateur radio skills and equipment to keep this kind of this provisional, after this collapse, this kind of a provisional, I don't want to say a government or this coalition of leadership that are trying to get some type of organizational structure. And now they have a foreign military or two foreign militaries beginning to show up on American soil under the auspices of helping us to recover. But, it becomes clear it starts to become clear they have a different agenda. So, you know, in a grid down situation where our fragile telecommunications satellites or internet is disrupted or interrupted or controlled, we want people to start thinking about what would you do in that situation. And of course, not everybody's going to find themselves, in a situation like this, like these main characters in this book. But volume two that I'm working on now kind of approaches it from a prepper perspective, it takes you back to Zero Day, where the event begins. And so subsequent storylines are going to take you up to that point where book one started. So, yeah, that's been a major project. And, of course, with Amron, we've got a big mobile training exercise this weekend nationwide. So we're looking forward to that. We've been getting ready to get out in the field and get our radios and antennas up in the air, and it's going to be a good time.
So right now, everybody's asking about preparedness. I love it. People are awake. They're like, okay, what do we do? What do we do? So what's your analysis of the situation happening in the world right now? And let's walk through some of the things that people can actually do to be prepared.
Ooh, well, it's really hard. Well, fortunately, people are waking up, but they are basically where we've been hoping they would be as we've been standing on the rooftop screaming for the last 10 years. So now there, a lot of folks are in panic and try to catch up mode. And there's kind of a sense of despair, or, they feel overwhelmed. So I would say, first of all, don't be afraid. Just start taking steps to get prepared and do it with a sense of urgency, but not out of fear or panic. And there are just so many great, great resources to help somebody who's never even considered this before now and until now. We've learned a lot of lessons. Fortunately, this been mainstream from just Ukraine alone. As far as from a communications perspective, war can happen anywhere and anytime, but I've studied this for decades now. And there's a common theme that I've noticed as a former radio operator and communications specialist in the Army. In all of these disasters, whether it's a civil or political collapse, economic collapse, war or invasion, the headlines always are, the people in the affected area are just as hungry for information as they are for food. Mm-hmm. And there's just a huge gap there. And I've clipped several of these articles. And it's just information, communications is probably one of the most overlooked areas of preparedness for anything. It doesn't matter, you know, whether it's an asteroid or a war or civilian, you know, civil collapse or an earthquake, hurricane. Communications are, you know, just critical. In a hurricane or any other natural disaster situation, communications are critical for directing help and resources to the right area where they're needed. And in the situation that we're looking at potentially in our future, many people would argue World War III has already begun. We are basically like World War II, 1940, right? The World War II has kicked off. We just haven't been directly impacted yet, and it's coming. And so I think that we need to start looking at the world situation and realize that the sooner you realize, the better you will be, understanding that this is not temporary. This is not something that we're going to say, oh, wasn't 2022 horrible? I'm so glad that's behind us. I'm so glad gas prices are cheap again. This is just the beginning of something very, very serious, you know. And as a Christian, I'm looking at this through a prophetic lens too. And the way everything lines up, this is going to get, you know, a lot worse before it gets better. So we need to strive as much as we can to be as self-reliant as possible, as quickly as possible.
So what are some likely scenarios coming up that you've been discussing that could happen as a result of maybe Russia getting desperate? Maybe their president is getting desperate. Maybe he does have cancer. Maybe he is thinking that, you know, he doesn't have enough military to finish the job in Ukraine, and NATO is, you know, expanding now, and he's got to do something drastic. What are the scenarios that could come out of that, or even come out of China?
Well, both. And actually, I halfway expected simultaneously that China would make a move on Taiwan as Russia was going into Ukraine. We've seen that China has used some restraint there. I think they're holding back in kind of evaluation and assessment mode, but they're really kicking things up. This is the largest mobilization now of China's naval forces, I guess, in a persistent sense. The largest exercises they've been running one after another, and we've not seen this type of activity from China, who I think is emboldened by this regime that is at the executive, at the head of the United States government right now. And certainly that emboldened Putin to make his move on Ukraine. But Russia has already openly stated nukes are definitely an option. And now with Finland, Sweden moving to join NATO, and it looks imminent now as far as at least Finland, Russia said that will result in a military response. So what does that mean? Russia's military is heavily depleted right now. And so that puts them in kind of that desperate category, which is there were several potential responses outside of conventional responses, which he's obviously weakening now, conventionally speaking, you know, tanks, artillery, planes. So the cyber, the Russians are behind, suspected to be behind so many cyber attacks, along with Russia and Iran, that a lot of the cyber security experts anticipate, or they predict that our adversaries, man, I can't think straight, our adversaries are at the point now, as far as their advanced technology, they could flip the switch at will at this point on our telecommunications, including internet, our power, our SATA systems that control, you know, safety and security, like nuclear power plants, keeps them from monitoring and keeps them from overheating. If they could attack that, that alone would have an EMP type of an effect to a large degree. It would shut us down so fast. I mean, look what's already happening with our economy and our supply line systems with just poor governance and management.
Right.
So something like that could just, I mean, instantly, overnight, total game changer. Secondly, China and Russia have really put a lot of money and effort, research into technology, specifically designed weaponry, such as missiles and other electronic weaponry, specifically designed to target satellites, which is critical for our communications, for navigation, for a number of things, which would really cripple our military, unfortunately. And then, of course, there's you know, traditional nuclear warheads. So there are a lot of possibilities. I don't know what's the most probable at this point, other than something's going to happen way above and beyond Ukraine. I believe that the country, the leadership that are in charge of the current NATO nations have changed NATO completely. It's not our father's NATO, right? These are people with a globalist agenda that has taken operational control of European, United States, Canada, Australia, governments that have a global agenda. And sadly, right now, it's America last policy. And they're pushing for World War III. They're pushing to escalate things. So we just need to be prepared for pretty much anything. Be self-reliant, you know, have fuel, solar generating systems, you know, for power, if you can, have as much of your sensitive electronics that you're not using regularly, have that stowed away, protected, have food stored up, and 3 months to 6 months, I think, is a good start as far as food.
I do too. And I want to talk a little bit too about this whole thing with 2,000 mules and the idea of phone tracking. Now it's real. Okay. Now we know it's been real for a while, but now it's real in the American psyche. This is actually something that happens. It's actually something that can be used for good or for evil. Tell the listeners a little bit about cell phone tracking, and you have actually put out some extensive works on these issues about personal privacy and keeping our data private. Talk a little bit about how listeners can do that and help them understand the entire concept.
Well, that's really difficult to do in the time that we have, but I would just say I know exactly what you're talking about. I do have one thought, though, I think is really awesome. They have they've had the ability to track us for a long time. And they have been tracking just in the last 2 days. It just came out that Project Veritas was targeted by the FBI because thankfully a white hat, a patriot who is a special agent in the FBI, came forward anonymously and revealed that Project Veritas has been specifically targeted for their I can't remember the acronyms, but anyway, for a system for targeting and tracking and monitoring their cell phone usage, including conversations and so on. So the capability is there, and you have to adjust that based on your threat model. If you're a high-level, you know, journalist that's exposing corruption in the government, you would obviously take much more, more aggressive and deliberate measures than just Joe Schmo who goes to the gun show once every 3 months and watches Fox News. Right. So, this is a problem, and it's not going to go away. They're never going to not use the ability to track citizens. This is age old. But what was really cool with the 2,000 mules is that it not only just revealed the capability of using metadata to analyze people's movements and activities and actually pin them right down to crimes. But I love that this is the left who carried out a coup and overthrew the executive branch of our government through a stolen election. And the weapons that they formed against us have been turned in on themselves, and it exposed them. So I'm saying, hoorah, right? This is a beautiful thing. It's like Haman, in the Bible, Haman's gallows that he built to, you know, hang Israelites from, he ended up hanging from. So this is a kind of a cool victory for us. But That was kind of a very unique situation. It was like an anomaly. They are definitely putting a lot of emphasis right now on the Patriot community. Trump supporters. Trump's one of his MAGA is one of the worst, most extreme groups. Patriots are domestic terrorists. So, yeah, sadly, they are using this technology. And so the bottom line is do as little as possible. You're going to be talking about some Patriot event, organizing some Patriot event. Don't include your phone in it or use secure apps. Telegram and Signal are secure applications. All of the stuff is being recorded, phone calls, texts, it's all harvested. And now with the advancement of artificial intelligence, it's really nothing now to sift through trillions of pieces of data to learn anything about you that you want, or build your network, see your network and who you're associated with and things like that. So I think that people need to start learning a term that we're familiar with, OPSEC, right? Or COMSEC, communication security, personal information security, and just information security in general. Start protecting that stuff. Start using a VPN when you're online, a virtual private network, and all this information we're just handing to them on a silver platter. And so we want to deny them as much information to add to their databases, their metadata, and their analysis tools as possible. So I don't know. That's probably as much as I could say on that. For the time that we have, there's a lot of really great information out there. Just do an internet search, not Google.
But yeah, please don't do Google. Yeah. DuckDuckGo, even DuckDuckGo has been awful.
Yeah, sadly they've been shadow banning some information. But Brave is a really good one. Brave is a search engine, and they have a search tool, and they're also an internet browser. So Brave or DuckDuckGo for your searches, and use a VPN, a virtual private network. But you can do that internet search and learn more about internet online privacy and smartphone privacy. Use those keywords. There's a ton of stuff out there now that you can go into that rabbit hole as deep as you want. But
well, JJ, over the years,
would be a good start.
Yeah, I think that would be a great start. Over the years, you and I have talked to, and we've talked with, and we have talked with each other about preparedness, and that there would be a time when there were going to be some shortages, some supply chain disruptions here, even in the United States of America, with everything that's going on in the world. And people kept saying, no, that's not going to happen. No, it's not. Now it's here, and people are awake. So let's talk a little bit about preparedness outside of communication. Really, what should people be doing? What should they be looking at right now in this time? Because 16 fires/weird incidents at food processing plants doesn't really matter the cause. Together, that is a strategically significant set of incidents that will impact the supply chain. No question about it. I mean, from the layoffs of one plant, over 200 people, to just the fact that trying to get them back online is going to delay production and delay delivery and delay supply. What should people be doing right now truly to prepare here in the American readout?
Food and water. First of all, get enough food for your family, everybody in your immediate household, for at least 90 days. Start there, and that's just a start. Add to that as quickly as you can. The food prices are going up. It's just staggering, and they're just going to continue to go up. You have these fires and explosions at food processing plants. Now I have mysteriously this bacteria or something showed up in baby formula. Oh, we got to yank that off the shelf. Oh, now, diesel is $6 a gallon. And so now the price of shipping and farming, everything is going through the roof. All of these seemingly unrelated things are all just compiling on. There's dozens of those influencing factors. So right now, it's cheaper today than it's going to be tomorrow. don't wait until we're like Venezuela, where you're asking your employer to pay you today because a loaf of bread is going to be $4, is going to be $8 tomorrow. Don't wait till we get to that point, and focus on that. Focus on is just being as self-reliant as absolutely possible. Food and water, the ability to collect, gather, and purify water. In the event that, what would you do if electricity, go shut the power off to your house and then go flush the toilet one time. And that's it. Your water stops. How are you going to procure water? How are you going to purify it? That is probably the number one overlooked, or I guess the number one critical component in every disaster, from earthquakes to floods to war. It's all water. I mean, Ukraine, they're going down there and dipping out seawater to make tea with. And you can't, that's not going to sustain you. So, food and water is your number one thing. And then communications for me. And of course, security. You want to make sure in all of these cases that we've read about, Sarajevo or Venezuela or in Africa, the security issue is big. Get strategically relocated away from cities. If you haven't done so already, just make it the top priority right now, because the security situation just deteriorates so fast. And if you have food and others don't, well, they need it more than you do, and they're going to prove it unless you're prepared to defend your family. And that's not about being uncharitable and not being willing to share. That's about your first duty, and that's to look after your family and provide for them. You got to be able to do that. So get to wherever you're going to flee to now.
Yeah, don't wait. Don't procrastinate anymore. The time to act is now. In the last 2 minutes that we have left, John Jacob Schmidt of American Readout Radio Operators Network and also Radio Free Readout, The Morning Commute. And we'd like you to just plug not only your book, but also when are you on the radio and where can people go find out more information?
Oh, yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. Well, the main website is radiofreeredout.com, and you can click on the tab there that says Listen to RFR. My wife and I, Lady Liberty, and I do a morning daily morning commute at 7 a.m. On the Liberty Broadcasting affiliate, or the American Christian Network affiliate, Liberty Broadcasting, 96.5 FM, AM 630, and the live stream there. We're also up on Podbean. We archive all of our shows on our Podbean site. So if you miss a show, you can get caught up. And then every Sunday night is a weekly Radio Free Redoubt podcast that's going on 12 years now. And if you're interested in emergency communications or learning more, you can go to amron.com. That's AMRRON.com. And it's a nationwide network of radio operators, and they're on the air all the time, right now, in fact. So, yeah, you can also contact me, John Jacob, at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. Anybody has any questions, want to email me, I'll do my level best to respond to all of those. And the book is on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and type in Partisan Operator Journals, and it'll pop right up there.
John Jacob Schmidt, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio again. It's great to have you on. Great show today, and keep up the fight. Really appreciate over the years, that you've been not just talking about preparedness, but also the tie-in to Christianity. And now with Roe versus Wade about to be overturned, that becomes more important than ever. So thank you for doing that over the years, and blessings to you and to
Lady
Liberty.
You as well. You as well. Thank you. God bless.
All right. John Jacob Schmidt, Make American Readout Radio Operators Network, and Radio Free Redoubt, Morning Commute, and listen right here on ACN as well. And I would like to just remind everybody that this weekend, if you haven't watched 2,000 Mules, watch 2,000 Mules. Check out the Partisan Operators Journal from JJ, and you can find that on Amazon as well. And Travis just put it up there. So we're going to be putting out that preparedness list for sundry items here in the next little while. again, if you have family members that have been waiting, or they're like, man, I didn't think I never needed to be prepared, or what does that even mean? I don't even know what it means. Those are the family members we want to reach today on the show. So make sure you share the episode. Make sure you share the preparedness list. Make sure you share the preparedness list on food and water, too, in addition to the sundry items. So it's not just about toilet paper, everybody. It's also about food and water. Make sure that they get that and that they share that with their friends and family as well, so that across the United States, we decentralize the supplies and we decentralize communications. We decentralize as much as we possibly can, because that's what makes us more resilient. That's what makes us the threat that we were to Japan in World War II, where they understood that if they tried to invade America, there would be a person with a gun behind every blade of grass. Now, I know some people are like, well, that quote is a myth. Well, the quote itself might be, but it embodied what the Japanese Strategic Command actually discussed, and also the decision-making regarding whether or not they would actually invade the United States. So it does embody what was talked about, and it was part of their calculation. So look, we want to be as resilient as possible. Make sure you're getting prepared. Make sure that you are also getting spiritually prepared. The most important part, that you are pressing into our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that you're reading the word every day, that you're praying, but you're also moving to action. You're not just sitting there with a bag of popcorn kind of waiting for the end. It's going to take us as Americans to stand up, break through the normalcy bias, so that our kids and our grandkids can live in peace and prosperity and freedom. That's what this is all about. That's what Patriot Radio is about. That's what being a Christian in America is about. And the rest of the world is watching. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you. And may he make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.